Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game. Here to my left, Weasel, ready to bring NFL preseason action with me. That's what I said, preseason action. What, you're trying to tell me that nothing's going on just because there's no draft anymore? Fool, you must be crazy. I mean, how wrong can you be to think that nothing's happening? There's not the joy of playoffs like the NBA maybe right now.
Playoffs?
Playoffs, that's right. There you go, Weasel, get it. No, but what I'm getting to at this particular juncture is this. I mean, you got all sorts of crazy headlines that you normally wouldn't have during the year. I mean, no, I'll grant it's because there's no actual games to follow, per se. But, like, for example, let me ask you this, Weasel, because I want to test your acumen to find the conspiracy. Because, really, that's what you bring to the Student of the Game. You are usually my outside-the-lines guy. I mean, anybody who pays any attention in the past couple years, especially, your attention to things like the concussion scandal, anything involving Bounty Gate, any of that, you're usually right on top of. So, on a much more trivial issue, let me throw this out there here, right? So I see something on NFL.com, which means during this time of year it's probably fluff. That's right, I said it. Said something that says, meet Mark Barkley. And apparently, apparently it's a reference to LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy referring to the young quarterback as Mark Barkley. Now, him being Matt Barkley, and, you know, his first name being Matt, last name being Barkley, if they just called him Mark, like, you know, all together in one word, it'd be very efficient. I get that. But let me go here with this. The response given when they asked LeSean McCoy about, he was corrected by a member of the press. It's Matt, LeSean, just so you know. Well, he ain't never corrected me. That was what he was quoted as. Then later in the tweet by Matt Barkley, oh, guys, he's so silly. He gets headlines. He's always called me Matt. Do you smell a little bit of bovine feces, which is to say bull beep?
Yeah, I think it's just maybe it's just a fun thing with a rookie. I mean,
you can't make a quarterback carry your pads. He might hurt his arm, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Anyways, I just thought I'd get that little bit of silliness out the way there. But, you know, of course, when it comes to the offseason, there's a lot of things that happen. A lot of players retire. A lot of players do things that are stupid. And a lot of players apparently have not found jobs. And that will be the main opus for our show during today. I think what I'll go ahead and start with, let's go ahead and start off with the silliness because, well, I got Weasel here, and Weasel is just I remember from talking to him before the show here. Yeah, I remembered all of 10 minutes ago. I remember before the show started here, Weasel's talking up Titus Young. Now, for those who who have been listening to the battery of Fro shows during the week, I believe it was Nick Ficarelli, the head of the Sports Chronicles radio network, who on his Are You Kidding Me? During the Football Reporters Online weekly show cited that Titus Young was arrested twice in 15 hours. Now,
that's like twice in a day.
That's in less than a day. Damn, Skippy. Get it, Weasel. That's right. There's my fact checker in the hizzy right there. That's right. No, but something had happened with his car and it got impounded and then he tried to steal it from the impound. And look, for that second arrest, by the way, I've always wanted to try to reenact that one scene in Gone in 60 Seconds, but always realized it was a bad idea in real life. So is Titus Young stupid, or is he just a visionary trying to follow through with his artistic model?
Well, I think Titus Young, I think after that, you know, short span of time of being arrested, I think he wouldn't do anything else this week. I mean, I think it'll be, you kind of got to, you know, step away and maybe reevaluate your life with these arrests. But
yeah, what kind of wacko gets arrested three times in a week?
Three times, yes. Yeah. And it had to do with like a robbery.
Wait,
attempted
a minute.
Burglary.
He got arrested a third time?
Robbery.
I mean, look, I know things tend to happen in threes, but again, you see, he has this artiste motif. He's trying to reenact scenes from movies. He's trying to do that third one is the funny thing with the running joke. Yeah, not a good idea, Titus Young.
And what's not good is assault of a police officer and resisting arrest.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
I know it's connected to, with a some sort of a disturbance where he actually snuck into a residence or something like that. I've not read many details on it. mostly because, I mean, I'll say this way. The statement I've seen is that it's gone from funny to sad just like that when it comes to this third instance. I mean, you know, first of all, he was just a dumbass because, oh, I'm better than Calvin Johnson. I'm going to run a route that's not in the playbook. Then the rest stuff started happening and he got cut. Then he got picked back up by the Rams for a second, so that looked like there was hope. Then he got arrested twice in 15 hours. That became three times in a week. And I think, I mean, I don't know, Weasel. It seems like at this point, the dude needs to be focused more on life and less on an NFL career at this topic, at this juncture. But, I mean, do you think he'll ever get that other chance? I don't know.
Well, the next chance, it's going to have to be like in a year or so. Because yeah. It's like... He's the third arrest. The first two were, you know, kind of humorous. The guy got arrested that much in that little time.
I mean, you're calling the Guinness World Records, you know, more than anything else. I get that.
But the thing is with this third one, it's like the guy assaulted police officers. I mean, you're not supposed to do stuff like that. So
that's not very nice.
So, yeah, I think it's going to have to be like he's a year away and he's going to have to really... straighten this stuff out if he wants to earn back the trust from not the Lions or any team that wants to pick him up.
Just in general, he needs PR, not just, you know, trust of a team. You know, I don't know if there's any sort of jail time connected to this at this point or any of that, but obvious that too will be a point of interest as to whether he'll ever have an actual chance to come back. I think it's I don't know. He could have caught on as a good number two or number three. Somewhere. I know a number of teams that could have used him. Seattle, to name a few. You know, I mean, the name Titus Young is a lot more fun to say than Golden Tate. I'll put it that way. you know, whatever. Anyway, so that's the silliness for the week here. So, yeah, thanks a lot, Titus Young, for making us waste time on that. Anyway, speaking of things that continue to be silly, going from people breaking the law, the people who would help defend and uphold the law, more specifically lawyers. You know, not that lawyers have a great personality or I shouldn't say personality, but what's his word? Reputation within society. But for those of you who don't live outside of Florida, there's a certain individual named John Morgan. He's the face, founder, if you will, of the law firm Morgan & Morgan. You know, for those who have seen his commercials, for the people. I don't think it's kind of like, you know, Better Call Saul in Breaking Bad or nothing. But, you know, it's a lot less fun than that. But you get the idea. He's a really big local attorney here in Orlando. Well, why is that relevant to football? That's an excellent question, Guizel. I'm glad you asked. What I'm getting to is this guy made a YouTube advertisement for all intents and purposes that his firm sponsored to campaign Jacksonville to take back Tim Tebow. Okay, dude, wait a minute. Now, Weasel, you can have your turn on this, but I got to start out with this by saying once again that I'm put in the awkward position of having to apologize for the state I live in. Already it appears in the Daily Show every other night for doing something silly, and then somebody who's supposed to be quote-unquote more learned amongst the citizens of said state wastes our time and his money by campaigning the Jags to get Tebow. I am thoroughly, thoroughly sorry. There is one good thing about this. Who do we get to talk about, Weasel?
Tebow.
Don't be lying. When you saw that Morgan did these commercials, you're like, yes, I get to do the Tebow thing. Come on now.
Yeah, with the whole Morgan YouTube thing, it's kind of genius on their part. I mean, they got a lot of advertisement for that.
Oh, that's no lie.
I think ESPN, you got, and who would ever hear of Morgan & Morgan?
Otherwise, yeah.
But this is like ESPN. A lot of
He was on NFL AM, too. That's where I first came across it, was they were interviewing him. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? Now, I'll grant, I turned it off, but, you know, I knew he was there.
It was like kind of, he makes some good points. I mean, having Tim Tebow in Jacksonville, it would be great for the city. And it would be, you know, a new start for Tebow, because right now it's not looking like he can go anywhere else. So it's, I think he got a bad rap with the Jets.
Absolutely.
And I think he kind of regrets, I'm pretty sure that John Elway said that he allowed him to pick either one of the two, the Jags or the Jets, and Tebow chose the Jets. That's what I've been reading. But I think he maybe looked back like last year. If he was playing on the Jags, he would be a starting quarterback.
Well, maybe.
He would.
Maybe. Yeah. He would certainly have a lot better shot at this point than he does now. That's for certain. That I'll grant you. And well, you know, before we put him out on a ringer for avoiding the Jags, let's be clear, okay? The Jags just acquired Blaine Gabbert, and Tebow knew that he wouldn't have a shot at all. I mean, to actually get on the field and start. I mean, this isn't like Kyle Orton, who had been there the year before and the fans didn't really care that much about. I mean, look, I get that Blaine Gabbert. Yes, that's his porn
allegedly
name.
Yeah,
right. Oh, God. Anyways, Blaine Gabbert. Good God. Anyways, Blaine Gabbert, he was firstly acquired pretty much by the Jags. I mean, he was just, they were still placing their trust in him. He was still the franchise guy. He wasn't going to move him away. It just wasn't going to happen. Whereas, at the time, Sanchez hadn't had his extension yet. Now, once his extension signed, it's like, oh, damn it. You know, and I might have my timing off a little bit on that. But, you know, I feel like Tebow did that, first of all, because he may have been fooled a little bit with the whole pass protector role in the punt package, which, you know, they made him gain another 20 pounds for. Now he's too slow to run to the outside. Oh, great. But I think the other thing that Tebow may have failed to account for is Sperano as an offensive coordinator. No one has enjoyed that at all. And I think there's been, like, within the business, so to speak, that's been regarded as the biggest mistake that the Jets made last year was Sperano. You know, that being said, had he have gone to the Jags, I think, first of all, I don't think he would have been asked to gain weight. And second, no, they would have put him out on the field at least once or twice after Henny had his problems on the field. You know, he would have seen time getting an actual start where the Jets, Sanchez could have had leprosy and they would have still started him. Let me just put it right out there. Oh, and then here comes all the, you know, leprosy hate mail, right? But I'm just saying. Anyways,
I think Sanchez can also be benched and then having come back later in the game, just because I think there was an injury to, what was it, Greg?
McElroy. Yes.
And instead of going to your backup, which was Tim Tebow, you go back to Sanchez.
Absolutely.
So I think that's what I saw to be really messed up. But
an excellent point there, Weasel. And let me put it this way. Let's be clear, though. I mean, I'm not going to act like that Tim Tebow wasn't any sort of a quote-unquote victim here at all. He made an unfortunate decision with the information he had for him to go to the Jets, and they proceeded to do some awful stuff. But let's be abundantly clear. Part of the reason for Tim Tebow's job woes right now is on Tim Tebow. It's Tim Tebow's fault. That's right, I said it! Why, you might ask? Well, let me put it this way. We mentioned another Jaguar, or soon-to-be Jaguar, I should say. One Denard Robinson. You know Denard Robinson, don't you? Michigan quarterback, right? Drafted by the Jags. What position does he play?
Quarterback?
In college, he's listed as a running back on the Jags roster.
Ooh.
So, wait a minute. In order to get on a... Follow me. In order to get on a roster, he changed his position. So it's...
What a concept.
It's good enough for Denard Robinson, but not for Tim Tebow. And to John Morgan, let me be clear. Just because we're in the state of Florida, and that's where Disney is, doesn't mean that Tim Tebow is going to be the next feel-good, happy-ending movie. It's just not going to happen. I'm just saying.
So, where is Tebow going to be next year?
I think the Omaha Beef is actually every... No, in all seriousness, he'll get picked up somewhere, or if he does, I don't know. He may just take a year off and do missions for a year. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. That's. There's a lot of talk with the Patriots. I just don't see it happening.
It's. I think what all the teams out there that can pick up Tim Tebow, it's kind of sad that a lot of it is the circus is the reason why he's not getting picked up, and I do think that I thought he was going to be a lot better at Wildcat, but I think the Jets didn't just give him a lot of chances.
Well, they didn't give him any chances. The play calls were all, hey, Tim, run up the middle. And the one time he got to throw a ball, he left a guy out to dry, and he got dish-ragged and knocked out for the rest of the season, I believe. It was one of their tight ends. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right, though. They needed more variety in the Wildcat, for certain.
Well, I think with players that switch positions to so that they can get on a roster, one of those guys is Bruce Miller.
Bruce Miller, very good. Seventh round pick out of UCF, playing now for the 49ers.
Yeah, and he was like a linebacker, defensive end type.
He was a defensive end, yeah.
And he goes and switches to fullback.
Fullback.
Heck yeah.
Fullback. And where the dude is a Pro Bowl caliber guy, by the way.
Exactly. So Tim Tebow, if he wants to stay in the NFL, he's most likely going to have to switch positions, but I could see him going next year to the CFL, or it would be awesome, would be the Predators, the Orlando Predators.
I'd be honest, I would go to a game just to see how that would go, but I wouldn't be able to get a damn ticket.
Yeah.
You know, that's the truth of it. But, I mean, who knows? I could get lucky and get credentials, but...
The Orlando Predators, they're an arena football team.
That's right. Very good. So. Thank you, Weasel. So, with that, let me put it this way. Yeah, you know what? I'll throw it out there. There seems to be more and more teams that are aspiring to that pistol offense that the 49ers run. The tight end they got in the second round, they're looking to add an ace package to their pistol form. I mean, they had Delanie Walker. They'd line him up at the tight end spot. Yeah, he would do some stuff. But I think they're adding kind of an ace formation in addition to their pistol. But what I'm getting at is this. With Brandon Albert for the Chiefs, they're holding on to him. They're going to put him at left tackle. Number one overall pick, Eric Fisher is going to be put on the right, it sounds like. They got quarterback Alex Smith. Interesting, with Jamal Charles also at running back. If Tim Tebow were willing to play fullback, do the Chiefs make sense? Weasel made the very inquisitive face. Yes.
Yeah, the Chiefs, they've been having trouble with...
appreciation,
pleasing their fans, because they've been having some pretty bad years. But
let's call it what it is. They celebrated their quarterback having a damn concussion last year. Maybe you don't remember that.
I got you. Yeah, yeah, that's terrible.
So that is terrible. That is TRBL for sure. But what I'm getting at is this: if your fans are that disheartened, perhaps bringing the Tebow circus to town makes sense.
But I think from all the interviews, he's going to keep saying, I want to be a starting NFL quarterback.
You can want to all you want. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So Tebow, it's up to him. Because if he switches to something like fullback, yeah, I think he could do that. He had to do a lot of blocking for the Jets.
And he's not bad at it. His form is not terrible. I will grant, and it's not TRBL by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. You know, but I don't know. I feel like the place for him at this point is to try to be a piece in a pistol offense, and perhaps there's some sort of a trick play where he could throw the ball out of that.
Yeah.
Now we're really talking. Again, he's got to be a specialty player. But I think the other thing too is I'm not going to say he wants more money, but part of it is the price tag associated with him too, because I want to be a quarterback. Yay. No, just take less money and take that humble pie, get a few Pro Bowl votes. Let's get those endorsements back in line. Right. Cause I mean, let's call it what it was. He had Hanes or some sort of I think it was Hanes, or Fruit of Loom. One of the two.
Yeah.
Failed advertisement. I couldn't remember the brand anyways, but like he had a commercial on there. And look, I'm not trying to talk about that. I wanted to see the guy shirtless. That's not what I'm getting at. Although I'm sure there are plenty of women that did, but that's not the point. What I'm getting to is this. You bring that stardom back, you come back on the frontal lobe of people's brains, then maybe you could talk about making a comeback as a quarterback. I don't think the only difference between him doing that and, say, a Michael Vick, well, first of all, Michael Vick did a lot more as a starter than Tebow did to start with, but is prison. Okay, you could take a hiatus without lawlessness. That's allowed.
Okay, and I'm not down on Michael Vick before I start getting all that, oh my God, no, Vick's paid his debt. I got no beef with Vick. It's not like that. What I'm saying is this. He took 2 years off, regardless of the source, and then came back. Now, I understand that he had a crappy year last year. Don't get me wrong, but Weasel, you tell me, was that due to the line or was it due to him?
What's that?
Vick's struggles last year. Was that due to his line or was that due to him?
I would say his line, because when you drop back a couple steps and you already got pressure on your face, that is, you know, that's kind of messed up. So they needed to do something with that offensive line.
If it's a 5-step drop and on step 4 you're going, oh, beep, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Not to mention what? They had Nick Foles start a significant amount of time, too, because Vick got hurt. Now, that's what Vic's going to do, I'll grant. But, you know, I don't know. Speaking of Vick, let me go ahead and segue into this then. See? Oh, transitioned. When it comes to the Eagles, we have the Chip Kelly offense here. Now, they drafted Matt Barkley, and I think they did it because, oh, my God, it's this pick, and he's still not picked. We should get him because we have him, Dennis Dixon, and Nick Foles, and Vick. And, well, Vick is guaranteed to miss probably at least 4 games if things go well. I mean, let's be honest, Weasel. How did Matt Schaub make a career, right? For those who don't remember, former backup in Atlanta.
Got traded for a second-round pick.
Booyah. And right, I thought Houston made a great move at the time. And now, you know, playoff contender later, it's looking pretty good. Yeah. Now, maybe if they get a few more receivers, you know, I'm just saying. But let me get to this. The Chip Kelly offense is one that features a lot, is all this high power, and a mobile quarterback is helpful. Dennis Dixon, we mentioned earlier, was an Oregon product and made the NFL on the strength of, you know, run and gun, right? Do you think that, provided that they shore up the line the way they need to, which their first round draft pick overall was an lineman, do you think that Vick has a chance to reignite, if you will, in this Eagles offense?
Well, Alberta, as it is now, he can only go up, because last year it was pretty bad for him, and he got beat up. And it wasn't just getting hit. He was actually turning over the ball a lot.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I think with a new coach and a new kind of philosophy to the game for them, I believe that Vic's going to come out a lot better. And he did have a race with LeSean McCoy, and he actually beat him.
In a sprint, yeah.
Yeah, he beat McCoy, and he attributed that to, like, the workout regimen by the head coach. They have, like, personalized smoothies and...
Personalized smoothies? I want that at my office. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So he actually attributed his, you know, speed to Chip Kelly.
All right. I mean, it's attention to nutrition and conditioning, which, I mean, hey, I mean, that's nothing new. That's just, you know, if you focus on it a little bit more, it goes that way. No, I understand that completely. I'm looking for something else to add to it, but it really isn't there. I'll be honest. So, anyways, speaking of the Eagles, I kind of more speak to their former rivals, the Tampa Bay Bucks, with our next topic here. And that, of course, is the retirement of one Rondé Barber. After 16 years of awesome, Rondé Barber stepping down, finally retiring. I feel like his brother Tiki kind of went out on top until the Giants won the Super Bowl immediately after. That being the same one where he talked smack on Eli in Eli's MVP speech at the Super Bowl. Should have been, hey, Tiki, tell me how my beer tastes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Kobe and Shaq. My bad. But what I'm getting to is this. When it comes to Rondé Barber, and I mean, my personal feel, I saw the question come up on Twitter of whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. And that made me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit in itself, because first of all, I don't think it's close. I think Rondé Barber is definitely a Hall of Famer. Frankly, I think any of the major pieces of that Bucks defense is Hall of Fame worthy. Of course, you know, right, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, Rondé, of course, John Lynch. Maybe you could argue Simeon Rice, but I can see why you would say no. I could go on to name other names, but one of them who isn't Hall of Fame worthy, Dexter Jackson, got it. Freaking Super Bowl MVP on the strength of John Lynch telling him where to stand so he could pick Rich Gannon off. I'm just saying. you know. But before this becomes a John Lynch fest, which is really easy for me to do. Ronde, I think what a lot of people look at Ronde's numbers and go, oh my God, well, he was in the Tampa too. He didn't have to do anything. Well, for a guy who didn't have to do anything, he sure had some damn fantastic numbers. He's a corner who amassed, I think it was over 45 interceptions, and he had over 20 sacks. That's ridiculous. You don't really see that.
That's those stats he's the only one in NFL history with that much.
I guess. So my statement isn't strong enough, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he stands out like that. And he's got some more credentials there. It's like also, he's behind Sanders, Woodson, and Devin Hester in most non-offensive touchdowns.
Damn.
He's got 15 of them. So
I know he's gotten a few. I know there have been games by that Bucs defense where they've scored more points in the offense, and that was the reason why they would win or compete in a game. I know that.
He's a 5-time All-Pro and 3-times a first-team choice, and he was a part of one of the best defenses possibly in NFL history.
If not the, yeah. I mean, you know, people want to bring up the 85 Bears. After doing some research on that, they were really just rough. The 46 was, you know, it wasn't quite as ridiculous as send everybody, like the grits blitz, the kind of thing that you do in flag football where, you know, if there's a 7-man team, you blitz 5. That's what the grits blitz is, just so you know.
Huh.
You send like 9. It was something by the Atlanta Falcons or whatever. But what I'm getting to is this. See, because it's in Georgia and it's the South and it's the grits and it rhymes with... But just shut up! Anyway! Shut up! No, but what I'm getting to is this. See, that Bucs defense was solid everywhere. Everywhere? Everywhere. I feel like they could compete against the defenses across from that Bears, 85 Bears defense, that 46, right? And give them a hard time, but also the high-flying offenses that we see nowadays as well. I mean, you know, you got the 18-1 Patriots, for example. I would have been very interested to see Golden Boy Brady versus that Bucs defense. That would have been a hell of a matchup. As it was, now, granted, before I get too much into that, I'm aware that in that Super Bowl game against the Raiders, that their center was out and he went to Tijuana or something, and there was all sorts of scandal connected to it, and that locker room was shot. But let's call it what it is, folks. Rich Gannon, Jerry Rice, and Tim Brown aside, I really think that game was going to go... It may not have been as lopsided, but I think that game was going to go the way it did with a dominant Bucs victory anyway. I mean, that's just where I'm at. But in addition to Ronde's stats, in addition to being a part of a squad that made a team that was as big a joke as the Bucs, I mean, Weasel, let's be clear. The Bucs were known for being that creamsicle orange waste of time with such great players as Lars Tate. Now, I'm not going to lie there. Lars Tate has one of the single silliest plays that you've ever seen. If you want to, you know, you look up on YouTube, Lars Tate run, you'll see what I'm talking about. But what I'm getting to is this. That franchise was a complete joke, and those players represented the turnaround to the Bucs to relevance. Now, since the retirement of Lynch, Brooks, Sapp, and a lot of that defense changing out, I can't say the retirement of Ronde because he remained as a mainstay. You know, they've not become jokes, but they're a second-tier team again. But that being said, anybody responsible for getting that team to the Super Bowl, as that defense was, belongs in the Hall of Fame. But okay, that's not good enough for you. Somebody on Twitter actually has hinted that Aeneas Williams belonged in the Hall of Fame ahead of Ronde Barber. Now, let me be clear. Aeneas Williams, he is Hall of Fame caliber. He should make it one day, but not ahead of Ronde. Not by a long shot. Now, while Grant, he was a part of the Rams defense that brought the Rams to the Super Bowl back when that was seen as a, oh my God, what are they doing here kind of situation, you know. For my money, it's like this. It's like Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner got the Rams to the Super Bowl and the Cards to the Super Bowl. Two franchises that, for the most part, in the modern day area, are kind of a joke. And their resurgence to the Super Bowl, I shouldn't say resurgence, their ascension to the Super Bowl was at his hands. And you're going to try to tell me he's not a Hall of Fame player. Put the pipe down.
He He came from arena football, too.
That's right. The Iowa Barnstormers and then, you know, stocking groceries, blah, blah, blah. I believe I can fly. That kind of thing. I got you. No, I don't know why I picked that necessarily, but it works, right? I don't know. Weasel, help me out. I kind of laid down my feeling about Rondé Barber and the Hall of Fame and his retirement. Where are you at?
Well, I think he doesn't have the like the eye-popping stats that, wow, this guy must be in there. But the thing is that he's up there with all the greats. One thing that's they kind of have a different styles of plays, but Deion Sanders, in 14 years, he's had 492 tackles. Now, I think it's partly because, you know, people fear him. I mean, the
well,
guy,
that and Deion ain't trying to tackle a mofo either. I'm just trying to tell you.
Now, Barber, on the other hand, he has 1,234 tackles. He's up there in the interceptions. He's up there in the
sacks.
The sacks, and for those for that stat I threw out about the non touchdowns,
the non offensive touchdowns, right?
Hester and Sanders, they got, I think, a good number of those from returns.
That's correct.
And I don't think Barber played
not so much.
Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty impressive getting 15. 15 non-offensive touchdowns.
Well, and then you have to put it like that because in that way he's in there with Hester. But what about just straight up defensive touchdowns? He might be behind Sanders in that, I'll grant. But Devin Hester wasn't playing no defense.
Yeah.
Well, Devin Hester as a corner ain't
even
that
when,
great.
When he's out there on the field, yeah, he doesn't. Yeah.
He was
drafted kind of as a corner, but yeah.
Well, they drafted him for punt return, too. Let's call it what it is. I mean,
he's pretty good at that.
So. Yeah. I think it's fair that he has a career. He's like, you know what, Dante Hall, Eddie Drummond, those guys, you know. But, I mean, let's put it this way. Deion Sanders got in the Hall of Fame being a punk who was afraid to tackle anyone. I'm going to call it what it is. I'm not saying he was a bad player. I'm saying fear was a dominant part of his existence.
Sanders was... about the missing tackles things or avoids tackles.
Yep.
It was a business
decision. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, Barber, he threw himself out there and...
he tried to take on Brandon Jacobs head up because they were talking smack or whatever. He's like, you want to try to tackle me? He's like, yeah, we're... Like, so we actually did it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Brandon Jacobs gained 6 to 8 yards on the play. But Rondé did eventually get him down. So, yay. I mean, that's more than Deion and Sanders would ever do. I mean, the dude, let's put it this way. And I mentioned this on the Thursday show with the Football Reporters Online. The reason why Rondé had so many hits as he did is because your choices were to get hit by Rondé or to get hit by Lynch.
Lynch hits hard.
Yeah. Thank you, Weasel. That's really kind of what I'm getting at there. So, I mean, look, I don't think it's close. I think Rondé should be in first ballot. I think he should definitely make it in before Aeneas Williams. I don't care if one played before the other or not. I mean, we still live in a world where John Lynch isn't a Hall of Famer yet, so I still claim injustice left, right, up, and down. But that is a different topic. Anyway, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of Hall of Fame talk in the months before the Hall of Fame game in August or whatever it is. But, or man, is that August? I think it's August. Anyways, whatever. I'll look at a calendar before the next show. Anyways, so other questions of people who aren't getting the respect that they should. I find it very interesting, some of the free agents we have out there still. Now, let me ask you this, Weasel. Can you kick? No. Brian Urlacher has been getting a lot of play as somebody who needs to land somewhere. You know, the Bears, you know, they parted ways with him and all that. There's been some talk of him going to Minnesota. Do you think that's... First of all, other than the marital turmoil that would cause in the Hurley house...
I would buy an Urlacher jersey just for... I'm telling you.
Well, but it would be cool because once he retired, then you both could wear it and it could be this romantic thing. You know how you two do. I mean, look, that's what it took romance for you to wear a lineman's number, wearing number 78. And do you even weigh 200 pounds? I'm just saying. No, but that aside, does it make sense for him to be in a Viking uniform next year?
Well, the Vikings, one thing that they have a big hole to fill and after the draft, they didn't do it, was middle linebacker.
Yes.
Now, they picked up some guy from Penn State. I forgot his name, but he was a seventh-round pick. He had, I think, 2 knee surgeries, so that's why he dropped so much. And he's
no risk.
Yeah. He possibly is going to get a try at the slot, but they have Aaron Henderson. And he's good and all, but to be the general on the field, to be that guy that, you know, gives the calls to the defense, I mean, that's a lot to do. And Urlacher, I called him, I think they should have signed him like long ago.
You think the Bears should have stayed with him?
If he loses a step, I mean, which he has, but he also made some pretty good plays last year. I remember he had an interception return for a touchdown.
Yes.
And the Bears were still they were pretty good on defense. So having such inexperience at linebacker, yeah, he's getting old. Yeah, he's lost a step, but he can still be effective out there as like a starter with pretty good defensive players around him now.
That's a good point.
The Vikings defense is much improved, and the Vikings have a great offensive defensive line, so that should help out Urlacher. So I say sign him, because if they took care of it in the draft with Ogletree or even Teo, that would be another thing. But they didn't really address it. So
first of all, let me be clear: Manti Te'o would not have solved your problem, especially in the division that you're in. But I like if they were able to get a hold of Ogletree, I that would have been a solid pick. I agree with that for certain. Unfortunately, they did a whole lot of awesome in the first round. That kind of took them off the table. I appreciate what you're saying, that they missed linebacker in the draft, and they clearly didn't pay attention to it. That may have been warranted for the need. But let's be clear. The first round was pretty badass, kid.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You got 3 players that are actually, they were thinking like, you know, top 15. Floyd was even looked at as a top 3.
Sharif Floyd, yeah, was talking about top 5, and then he slid like Aaron Rodgers did.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So that'll be a good – Urlacher could fill around those guys like that. I think that would be a good pickup, so.
Well, and there's plenty of merit to the wisdom piece. I like what you're saying there. But to that end, I think it's time for him to start a coaching career based on that. I'm in a place not so much – that I think he can't produce or won't produce or is a lesser player. I mean, he obviously is a lesser player. But look, Brian Urlacher at 80% is still pretty GD good. I get that. However, can he be relied upon to be the central point of your defense? Because here's what it is. If you build your defense to be centered around him and he goes out, first of all, you still are back to square one where you are, where – you know, you don't have a guy to really run the show in his stead. And on top of that, the team is used to having him there and he's gone. So it's actually even worse when you inevitably lose him. I think Urlacher's in that same ilk as Michael Vick now, to where he is not going to make it a full 17-week season, right? So I think it's really time for him to retire, dude. At this point, with, you know, now you and I both know that he's never going to take this point of view. I mean, this is a guy who's admitted, hey, I would hide a concussion symptom too. He said it in the press, sure as day. We've slammed him forward on this show. But I think it's really time for him to think about that. I mean, this is the same position where cats have had the chronic encephalopathy that we talked about that affected Junior Seau. I don't believe I almost forgot that. But, yeah, I don't see how him playing could merit a positive. The only reason I could see him continuing to play is if he was in a position to acquire a ring. And so maybe playing with the Falcons might make sense, ? But I don't see them picking him up. Playing for the Patriots might make sense, ? I don't know. But those, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, a lot of defenses now want that complete package of speed and brutality. And Urlacher's not that anymore. Anyways, I don't know. That's just where I'm at. And, you know, look, just do me a favor. when your wife gets home from work tonight, just hug her and let her know that it's time and that everything's going to be okay and that the Bears defense will still be good next year.
All right.
Anyways. So speaking of older defensive players who have not gotten a seat yet, in a league that seems to have valued corner so ridiculously high, Charles Woodson, still without a home. We're only a few years away from him being a defensive player of the year candidate as a member of that Packers defense. And now he can't get a bleep job. Now, I'll say this much. It doesn't help that the Niners managed to acquire Nnamdi Asamoah for a pack of Skittles, a.k.a. a six-round pick. You know, I think if that didn't happen, they may be seriously considering Woodson. And as a 49er enthusiast, I'd be all about that. Let's be clear. But that being said, he being a top-level corner who's still on the market, thoughts on where he should go, Weasel?
Woodson? Let's see. Throw the Vikings out there now. Just kidding.
No, I mean, well, if they didn't draft Xavier Rhodes, that's not far off.
Let's see. I'd say it's Woodson, he's getting up there in age. I believe he's 37. But with the Packers, he's always been a presence that, you know, that elevated that defense for many years. So where could he go? Don't know anyone specific now. But I would say to a team that has young corners, and maybe he can do that little mentoring thing. But whoever's like kind of not fortified at the cornerback position, or maybe even the safety position, he can get in there, kind of like I would say it's similar to,
well, like what Rondae Barber was converting to on his way out, or be in that safety spot, or like a Troy Vincent. Who switched to safety himself. I see where you're going.
Yeah, so any team, if they need cornerback or safety help, I think they could be like a kind of seen as like an Asante Samuel, where Asante wasn't, I think he came over to the Falcons, I believe, as as the third corner.
Uh-huh.
And injuries happen, and look who could, you know, hop into the starting spot. So,
and do well, if I may add. You know, and it's funny that you mention Asante Samuel by name, because I kind of feel like becoming a Patriot would make sense for one Charles Woodson. First of all, Weasel, let's be clear. On this show, you and I have taken a giant diarrhea dump on the Patriots defense on a regular basis. Patriots fans have done the same. I have gone on the show of a friend of ours, Robin Vandenberg, that sports chick, ran for sports. And she, too, has conceded that defense makes pillows look abrasive. That's how soft they are. They're so soft, I can't even give them the letter T because that's too rough. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Weasel. I don't know. It sounded kind of like Mr. T. Anyways, but so Woodson stepping in would at least provide coverage. And for a corner, you don't mess around either. I don't know. I think that makes sense.
I think that would be a good move, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know.
And he's not going to demand a lot of money, so.
Not at this juncture, I don't think. I mean, to trade in for to shot to play in that scheme, and which, I mean, they'll have a legitimate shot towards a ring because, again, their schedule, while becoming stronger with Tannehill and Wallace being united in Miami, it's still pretty awful. They still get to play. See how I put that? Not have to play, but get to play the Bills twice a year and the Jets twice a year. The Jets. I didn't know they still had a team. Anyways. So, which brings me down to another interesting pair. You mentioned the Falcons earlier. One, John Abraham, still has yet to acquire a job, as does former Colt great Dwight Freeney. Now, Weasel, buddy. As much as people have been talking about, oh, every team needs a good, they need to protect the quarterback and get to the quarterback. Where's the passer? And neither of these freaking guys have a job? Really?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it could be the money, but I think like Dwight Freeney.
It's always about the money, partner.
Yeah, they're getting up there in age, and if they want to, you know, demand like, you know, millions, when they're getting up there, they may have to take less than they think they're worth. So,
Well, I mean, that's just a part of doing the business here. And I think we're certainly in that part of the offseason where agents and teams are kind of playing chicken with each other. You know, like, oh, I'll get you, you know, your prize. I'll play for you if you pay my prize. Ah, you know, and it'll collide at some midpoint yet to be determined. I mean, because let's call it what it is. These guys aren't really going to need to. I mean, they'll have to adjust to a scheme a little bit. But when you're a veteran the caliber that they are, they're going to be able to inject themselves with reasonable ease into a system. Yeah. I don't see learning a system being a problem. I don't mean to imply that pass rushers don't have an element of discipline to their job. But really, the biggest element of discipline that any pass rusher has to face is instinctual, not a playbook. Don't over-pursue. Mind your gap. Yada, yada, yada. Right?
A place where I could see Freeney going is Denver, because they did lose Doomerville.
That's correct.
That was a little fishy how it's like, oh, we forgot to do the fax or the
oh,
agent.
I messed up the paperwork. Oh. I know I'm fired.
So,
oh.
But the Broncos are going to need someone to fill that, you know, have like a third down specialist.
Okay.
So, but Abraham's out there. Seymour's out there. So.
Oh, that's a good thought, too. Richard Seymour certainly falls in that ilk. And, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to do it to you again, bro. Of a team, of the teams out there, gosh, who's a team that has a solid offense, but is kind of like the easy girl at the prom, knows how to score and won't stop anyone from doing it. Oh, you like that? Who is that? The Saints? No, we didn't talk about the Saints earlier. Oh, that's right, the damn Patriots. Why have not the Patriots gotten one or more of these guys on their roster yet? Let me be clear. The Seahawks, I said that kind of like Jim Mora. Seahawks?
Yeah.
Seahawks? I just want to win a game. Anyway, well, no, they're winning games. I'm more talking about as the 49er fan who got smashed at home. Holy crap, Quest Field. Now, if they can win on the road, they might be relevant, but I digress. What I'm getting to is this. That relevance is coming for the Seahawks because of Cliff Avril and Michael Bennett. They observed that need for the edge rusher and thusly augmented their squad. Coaching genius Bill Belichick re-signs Kyle Arrington, who's a mediocre corner at best, and does not address that spot. I'm not feeling, what's his name? I don't even remember the damn guy's name now. Well, whatever. I know they drafted, they had a rookie, McCourtney, that's it, at linebacker and at defensive end last year. And the only time they did anything was against the Titans. Ooh, no offense, Don Rafael Garcia, but the Titans aren't nothing. I appreciate that they acquired Delanie Walker and got some protection in the draft to upgrade themselves. But let's be honest, last year, garbage? Yeah, I think that's a good description. Just throwing that out there. I don't know. What say you about the Patriots edition possibility?
Patriots are one of those teams that, I mean, you'll get it some money, but you also have that shot at a Super Bowl. I mean, they've always been knocking at the door, but still haven't won it. So, but I could see one of them, like Freeney or Abraham, going to the Patriots.
What about the Saints?
Saints?
I feel like that made sense to me because other than Will Smith, who they got up front?
That's true. That's true.
I'm saying.
The Saints, you know, they're contenders still. So they got their coach back.
Woohoo! Best off-season season acquisition, coach. You know, I'm going to be saying that all throughout the damn summer. I'm just saying, look out for it already. It's going to happen. I don't know. Anyways, well, we kind of walked through that here. We got about 10 minutes coming up. And really, there's a question I kind of had for you, Weasel. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying this to hate on the Vikings at all, but amongst Viking fans, Christian Ponder is a plague upon this planet and is the most evil man ever. So the game I want to play with you is we're going to walk through starting quarterbacks, and I want you to tell me who you would keep Ponder over. Simple enough?
Okay.
Okay, now let's get some of the easy ones out of the way. The following quarterbacks don't count. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. I get that. That's fine. Okay, fine. We'll start in your native North division. Would you rather have Jay Cutler?
I mean, Ponder is young, but Cutler is still on a higher level than him. So yeah, I'd say Cutler.
Okay, so you would take a diva over your guy. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Well, Matt Stafford, I'm not even going to ask that. Kevin Kolb.
Kolb has had his shot with a couple teams, and it was one of those like second round, third rounder guys that just sits and different teams going to pay to have him come. And so I would say Ponder. Just keep
him. Oh, okay. So we have our first Ponder choice over Kevin Kolb. Now keep in mind, I had to go to Buffalo to make that happen. Mark Sanchez.
I say Ponder.
Put on my shocked face.
With Sanchez, yeah, he got to the two AFC championship games, but yeah, lately he's not been very good.
Ryan Tannehill.
If you asked me at the beginning of the draft last year, I would have said Ponder, because Tannehill, it just looked like one of those picks that, oh no, all these quarterbacks are gone. Let's just take
the
next one.
They did reach. But, I mean, hell, let's call it what it is. In another year, in a different year, hell, if it were going to be this year, Tannehill could have been the 2013 rookie of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's got some more weapons. So I'd say Tannehill.
Fair enough. So we have two Ponders so far. Okay, fair enough. Staying in the East but going to the NFC, Michael Vick.
I'd say his age is up there, so. Huh.
But are you worried about the fact that he could stay on the field or not? I don't know.
The Vikings got a decent
offensive
line.
Do you want Matt Cassel on the field? That's my question.
Because
if you got Vick, that's what it would be.
Yeah. The Vikings, their offensive line has improved, though. So, and that would help.
Because it was bad in the first place. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Well, before that.
I don't think so. We've had that discussion, too. Let's get off this topic for a minute. Like, when it comes to that Vikings D-line, it's not fair. Because twice a year they face Nick Fairley, Dominican Sue, and Kyle Vandenbosch. Twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Twice a year they face B.J. Raji, A.J. Hawk, and Clay Matthews. That sucks. And then so their game off is facing Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, and Julius Peppers. Oh, but they have a bad O-line. That's what it... Hater. Come on, dude. I mean, I understand that you're trying to be objective here, but I think this is one where you got it wrong, partner. Not to mention Ryan Khalil Matt Khalil did a good job. Ryan Khalil's on the other team with the Panthers, yeah. Anyways. Okay. Tony Romo. Uh-oh.
I saw that look
on his face. He's like, damn it, I might have to pick Romo.
I'd say Romo.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, no, we already touched on Eli. We understand that. That's fair. Not RG3 either. I'm not even bothered with that. Okay. Duh. Luck, you'll probably try. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Matt Schaub.
Schaub? He has his ups and downs, and, I mean, he is older, so I'd say Ponder.
Oh, number three! We got it, okay.
Yeah.
Jake Locker.
He's had his ups and downs, and...
You better just say Ponder.
I'd say Ponder.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Let me help you a little bit.
They were both drafted in the same year.
Okay, here's a gimme. Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. He was actually chosen in that draft about three slots above to the Jags. So.
Okay. And
Ponder was 12th. I think he was like 9th or something.
Good job, Jags. Yeah. Way to go. All right, awesome. We're up to five that are Ponder. Okay. So, let's keep it rolling. Josh Freeman.
I'd say Josh Freeman.
Okay. I can understand that. Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan.
Even though he's the new Tony Romo. God, I love saying that. And I love it how he makes me right. That's beautiful. No. Okay. Wait, I had it and I lost it. Crap. See, this is why you don't do things from memory. because then you have, when you've tried to make jokes, then you completely lose your composure altogether. Well, oh yeah, well, Drew Brees, you're not going to, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
no, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, yeah.
Okay, I thought so. Going out west, Colin Kaepernick, no. Russell Wilson, no. Carson Palmer.
I just don't see him doing
you
that
better
much.
Just say ponder and move on. Yeah,
yeah, ponder. Because he's going to another team. We'll see how he does. So
Sam Bradford. See, what makes this tough is I think that he and Sam Bradford really have the same problem as in a complete and total lack of weaponry.
Yeah.
Outside of a good running back. Maybe you remember this guy's Steven Jackson, kind of a big deal that.
Yep.
Saying. So, anyways.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I said that they're pretty close, so, but I'd pick Ponder.
Number six! All right, solid, okay. Going over to C. Then, Philip Rivers. Damn it!
I think Rivers has got him on that. So
oh,
Rivers.
Wow! Okay. No, I understand. Hater. Anyway, Matt Flynn.
I'd have to say Ponder because that guy is getting—he got paid last year.
Yes, he did
to sit on the bench behind Russell Wilson.
I don't think that's his fault though. I probably won't give him that hard time.
It's not his fault. He's like, everyone's like, "Aha, you didn't get to play last year. I got $5 million or so."
Yeah, didn't that suck? Cash my check, mother.
Yeah. So yeah, and I believe it was the Raiders, right?
That's correct.
So I hope someone beats him. Like. Goes in, takes that job, and he'll just be sitting there with his money.
Well, hey, bigger joke. Him or Purple Drang getting, what is it, $40 million guaranteed, Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah. Oh, geez, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Same draft as Peterson.
Well played. You're just saying now. Yeah. Anyway. okay, and to wrap it up, you're not going to pick Big Ben, Joe Flacco.
Foul.
The foul, yes.
Yeah, I'd pick Flacco.
Okay, I understand. You're not going to pick the Ginger Ninja, Brandon Whedon.
No.
Okay, so we got 9 quarterbacks, which means you don't even have him in the top 20. Okay, I can see why you don't like Christian Ponder.
he's inconsistent. I mean,
well, I'll tell you. I want you to remember that you only pick 9 guys. No, you only picked him over 9 quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how he does this year now that he has a weapon or two. But I think this will be interesting. I'll write this down somewhere or you know, you make an effort to remember it as well, that you pick 9 people over Ponder.
That works.
We'll probably be talking about it through the year. I think that'll be very interesting. I'm going to scratch it down here. Huh? Right now, 9 quarterbacks. Okay. Anyways, we're got about 90 seconds left in the show. I mean, solid stuff. We missed Chris Rankin today, but I think we still had a lot of fun, a lot of good times. That's what we do here on the State
90
of the Game.
Seconds.
And we'll be here in another 2 weeks. It's the off season, it's bi-weekly. We take a break. Hey, we got vacations too. We're people. Hell, me and Weasel might even go to Mexico together. You don't know. I mean, we have wives. It's not like that. So gross, these people. I swear. Anyways, I am Kyle Nash, a student of the game. This is Stephen Weasel Hurley. Got a final thought point there, boss?
No.
Okay, with that, make sure you catch us every 7:30. In 2 weeks at 7:30, same time. Here we'll be on the Football Reporters Online. Of course, you'll hear me on Wednesday nights on the Sports Chronicles Radio Network with Drew Glukov on the OT with Andrew G. Someone was crazy enough to give him a show, and that would be Nick Ficarelli. Then on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Football Reporters Online, you'll hear me as a member of the panel for the Football Reporters Online weekly show. Go ahead and check out my Twitter at the SOTG. Tell us where you think Dwight Freeney should go. I'd be very curious to hear that. I'm sure there's plenty of places that people could think of. And, of course, check out our website, www.thestudentofthegame.com or www.thesotg.com because I own both domains. Woohoo! Anyways, we had a lot of fun talking preseason with you. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Class dismissed.
10 seconds.